When the American people find out how their government has secretly interpreted the Patriot Act, they are going to be stunned and they are going to be angry.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden made that statement on the Senate floor May 2011. He was referring to the National Security Agency's secret surveillance program. Over the last few months, it's come to light that the NSA has been collecting vast amounts of data from Americans, phone calls, email, even Facebook messages. This past weekend, Microsoft and Google announced they'll go forward with a lawsuit against the federal government. The tech companies hope to publish information about the government's requests for user data. As news continues to break on the scope of the NSA surveillance program, Oregon Senator Wyden's emerged as one of its strongest critics. When I talked to Senator Wyden last week, I started by asking him what specific powers the Patriot Act gives the federal government when it comes to collecting information about citizens.
One of the most important provisions in the Patriot Act talks about ensuring that the Patriot Act would obtain relevant records, and the clear focus was relevant to matters involving terror. And those public words of relevance essentially morphed into an approach where the government could go out and collect millions and millions of phone records on law-abiding Americans. And when you can find out who somebody called and when they called and where they called from, you're doing something that can significantly intrude on people's privacy rights. You don't have to be listening to those calls. If somebody called a psychiatrist three times in 36 hours, once after midnight, you know a lot about that person.
You have called the FISA court arguably the most bizarre court in the U.S. The president recently announced support for changes in how the FISA courts work. What do you think needs to be changed?
There are at least two areas that need to be changed, and I've been pleased that the White House seems open to one of them. Senator Blumenthal, Senator Tom Udall, and myself have proposed that there be an independent advocate in the FISA court, because the FISA court process is so one-sided. You essentially hear only one side of the discussion. And another major change would require that you have declassified the legal underpinnings of decisions in the FISA court. And in 2009, the Obama administration wrote to Senator Rockefeller and myself saying that they would begin an effort to start declassifying some of those opinions. And to date, not a one has been declassified.
How long a process should that actually be?
Well, I certainly believe it should have started a long time ago. And what is critical here is that there's a difference between secret operations and secret law. Operations, for example, the details, for example, about how you would go about, you know, capturing a dangerous terrorist, those sorts of things, that has to be kept secret because it involves sources and methods, and Americans can die as a result of that kind of information being made public. But secret operations are different than secret law. The law always ought to be public. That's the central underpinnings of a system like ours.
So we're talking about this because of the actions of two individuals in particular, Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden, who've been convicted over the summer. What do you think of what they did?
Well, I've had a rule that when somebody is charged with espionage, I don't get into the business of commenting on that. So that's number one. Number two, this debate should have been started by elected officials a long, long time ago, not by government contractors or others. And number three, I've been looking very carefully at government websites, particularly those that involve the rights of whistleblowers in the intelligence area. And I'm very troubled by some of what I've read on those, you know, websites, because it's almost as if when you read those websites, the potential whistleblower has got to go to officials in the intelligence community who are part of the problem before the whistleblower can even come to the Congress. That's not exactly a recipe for thoughtful kinds of approaches in terms of ensuring a balanced approach on whistleblowing.
Did the revelations of these documents, what they contained and the extent of the data that was being collected, did it spur most of your colleagues in Congress to actually want to take action? Because, frankly, from our vantage point, not a lot of action is getting taken on anything right now.
Let's again kind of focus on what's happened. I can assure you that 12 weeks ago, you wouldn't have had a big debate on the floor of the House of Representatives. You wouldn't have had 200 votes for reform. You wouldn't have had the NSA taking down fact sheets after Senator Udall and I pointed down inaccuracies on what they put on the web. You wouldn't have had 26 United States senators send a very strong letter to General Clapper asking for information about violations of privacy where they had to admit that there had been some. I mean, those are all developments that you wouldn't have had 12, 14 weeks ago.
Does most of this action come from Congress, or is there something that the Obama administration holds in its hands separate from what you guys have authority over?
Well, there are a whole host of issues where there's interaction between the Congress and the White House. For example, the president says correctly, in my view, that the key to making all this work is to have vigorous oversight by the Congress. Well, the Congress can't do vigorous oversight if the executive branch and key intelligence officials aren't straight, you know, with the Congress. For example, I've been very troubled by comments that have been made by General Keith Alexander, the head of the NSA. Two in particular, in a public forum, General Alexander said, "We don't hold data on U.S. citizens." That's one of the most false statements that's ever been made about U.S. surveillance. In addition, at a public forum, General Alexander said, "We don't keep dossiers on Americans." And that led me to ask questions about what he really meant, because I was not aware of what dossiers meant in that, you know, particular context. And we couldn't get answers from him. We couldn't get answers from the head of National Intelligence, and so I asked the head of National Intelligence at a public hearing whether the government collected any data at all on U.S. citizens, and he said no, and he was forced to correct the record on that as well.
Senator Wyden, one of the things that is kind of astounding is when you start reading through what exactly is collected, and it's almost so much that I can't get my head around the amount of metadata and phone logs, and where is this, and who does have access to what's in it?
The concern is, and people have often said, well, it's not listening to people's, you know, phone calls. Actually, going through people's phone calls today is an extraordinarily cumbersome, you know, exercise. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. The reason that metadata is so significant is it really lends itself to computer analysis. You have the numbers, and you can see these patterns. I mean, metadata is almost like a human relations database. You don't need to be listening to people's calls to know an awful lot about them and their personal intimate details of their lives.
I know that officials did point out the Boston Marathon bombings that they, you know, look, we were able to find this because we had all this information. But it strikes me as you're talking and when I read about what's being collected that looking for an alleged terrorist or a suspected terrorist amidst all that data would be like looking for a needle in a haystack, that when you've got so much ancillary information, how are you going to find what's really critical to national security?
The defenders of the status quo say they have to have the whole haystack to find the needle. And what I and others have said is, look, if you're going to engage in a practice that, in our view, really is intrusive on the individual privacy of law-abiding Americans, at least you ought to describe how what you're seeking to do provides unique value that you cannot obtain through existing authorities, particularly the emergency authorities, which are, you know, quite generous.
There was a lot of outrage when Americans first actually learned about the extent of all this data collection by the government on us. But what realistically would you like to see
average citizens do to help further the goals that you have?
In the past, what has really taken place is the American people have been offered a false choice. In other words, pollsters call people up and say, oh, would you rather have security or liberty, as if you can only have one or the other. The fact of the matter is that most Americans place a high value on both their security and their liberty, and it's my view that elected policymakers have an obligation to do everything that's necessary to protect both at the same time. And I hope that listeners and those that are following this debate make it clear to their elected officials, particularly with the debates coming up, we expect you to produce policies that protect both our security and liberty, and we won't accept anything else.
Senator Wyden, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with me about this today.
Okay, thanks for all your interest.
I spoke to Oregon Senator Ron Wyden last week. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.